And we're holding on Ein Ches Amud Aleph, about a third of the way down the Amud. The line begins Miboya, nine lines from the top. We were talking about we had brought a brisa that said that, that if a person steals kilayim animals, so an animal that's a hybrid of a sheep and a goat, for example, and he shechted it, he is going to be chayef tashlum al-baal b'chamisha. So on the other hand, we said on the face of it, we have a binyan av that Rava said, whenever the Torah says seh, then it means specifically an animal that's 100% sheep or 100% goat. We have, for example, by Korbanos where it says shoreh kesev ayez. So we said that because here it says shor oiseh, and we worked out why the word oy over here means to add even a kilayim. So not only a shur, and not only a seh, but even a kilayim is also, even a hybrid, a person is chayiv tashlum al-baal b'chamisha for shechting, as opposed to there are other cases when it comes to kodshim, where we have the word oy, and we said we're memayit, we said we're excluding a kilayim, as well as nidma, as well as an animal that's a mutant that looks like a different species. So now the Gemara continues. Ela hod omar Rava zeh bona av. Now let's go back to Rava had said that we have a binyan av kol mokum shenema seh ena ela lahotzias kilayim. That he said wherever it says seh in the pasuk, it comes to exclude kilayim, because the word seh is a little difficult to translate. We often have, for example, seh. We have, for example, the word seh chsovim, seh izim. A seh is kind of a general word for a lamb or a kid from those species. So whenever it says seh, Rava had said we have a binyan av from that. And where exactly the binyan av from was. From we discussed yesterday, Rashi mentions in Cholin, it's from the fact that when the Torah lists the kosher animals, it says seich sovim and se izim, so that shows that se goes individually on sheep and on goats. And Tosfos learns that no, we're learning from the Korban Pesach, where it says se somim zacha ben shana in this week's parasha. And then you have other Rishonim who learn that we learn from the extra, from the fact that it says seh an extra time. Anyway, Rava had said that from that you learn that the word seh throughout Chumash, whenever it uses the word seh, it means to exclude a kilayim. So we said here in the case of Tashlum al-baal b'chamisha, we have the word oy to include it. So Rava had said zeh bona av. The question is my hilchsa. As far as what halacha do we need that binyan av for that we wouldn't know already that kilayim are excluded? In ila kodshim, are we talking about that he's saying as far as kodshim, you don't need behed yuksib who showed a kesef prat the kilayim? We learned yesterday that when the pasuk says showed a kesef ayez, then it comes to exclude, and the word then that comes to exclude kilayim. And we worked out that the first oy comes to exclude kilayim, and the second one comes to exclude nidme, an animal that's a mutant that looks like a different species. And we talked about the distinction that Tosfos had made between one that completely looks like a different species versus one that partially looks like a different one. We're going to take up that point today in the Gemara as well. Anyway, so you don't need Rava's binyan av to tell us that kodshim, you can't bring a kilayim animal as a curtain. Are you going to talk about that? Maybe you need that Rava's limud as far as meiser behema to say that a kilayim animal doesn't count in the animals for meiser at all. We know that you take meiser by putting all the animals in a pen and then they go out one by one. And every tenth one is meiser. There are certain animals that b'chlal don't go. Now you have, for example, whether the animals are tmimim or bale mumim, they all go in there in order to be counted for meiser. All it is if one of the bale mumim ends up getting chosen as meiser, obviously you don't bring it to the korban, but it has kedusha and you can shecht it. You can shecht it and eat it like other psulei hamukdashin, but it has rules similar to a bechor that developed a mum in that you can't weigh out the meat in the normal, and you can't weigh the meat and sell the meat in the normal way. You have certain dinim that apply to that, but basically it's you're allowed to eat it at that point. But there are certain kinds of animals that b'chlal, from the newborns of this year, that b'chlal don't even get counted towards meiser, and among them is kilayim. So you're going to say that we need Rovers. We're going to say that we need Rovers Binyan Av for that. You don't. Havora, Havora, Yalif Mi Meiser. You have a Xerus Shava on the word Havora from Meiser. Now, to begin with, Rashi points out, one second, the Pasuk doesn't even mention the word Seh in connection with Meiser. What do you mean that we could use Rava's Binyan Av to say that you can't do Kilayim? You anyway don't have the word Seh there, and the whole point is the Binyan Av is based on the word Seh. So Rashi points out that it does say the word soin, which also means the flocks, which means sheep and goats. But anyway, Rashi refers to a Gemara in Bechoris that says that actually there are a number of things from which we learn Bechor from other Kodshim. From the word tachas, which the Gemara is going to mention in a second, which the Gemara now is going to mention. So it says you have to leave a baby, it's a baby animal tachas imoy for 8 days, and then you can bring it as a korban. Here you have tachas ashavet, so we would say, even without the binyan av from seh, that's the Gemara's gonna answer, that you can learn it that way. But the point is, even though it doesn't say the word seh, so Rashi learns because it says the word soin, which is basically the equivalent, it's a synonym of seh. Tosfos disagrees and says that no, you have a different Zeta Shava, which the Gemara is going to point out in a second, as far as Bechor, where it says Havara. It says Vahavarta Kopeta Rechem in connection with the Bechor, and it says Kolasha Yavar Tachas Ashavet. So that can be considered that we have the word Seh over there. But again, the point is, by Meiser, Tachas Talas Yal, Tachas Yalath Mi Kodshim. You have a Zeta Shava on the word Tachas from Kodshim, Kolasha Yavar Tachas Ashavet. And Shivas Yomim Tachas Imoy. So you learn from that that the same way as Kodshim, which we already said, Kodshim, you can't bring a Kilayim animal, because we learn from Shod Echesiv Ayez. So the same way by Meiser, also you don't Meiser, and you don't even count towards Meiser an animal which is a Kilayim. You don't need Rava's Binyan Av for that. Ila Bechor, you're going to say as far as a Bechor, whether an animal has the Kedusha of a Bechor or not, Havara, Havara, Yalef Mi Meiser. Well, there also you have a limud in turn from Meiser. Namely, again, because it says Havara, Havara, Kopet Rechem, and Kol Asher Yavar Tachas Ashavet. So we would learn that from Meiser Sheni, not Meiser Sheni, from Meiser Behema. And therefore we don't need Rava's Binyan Av for that. Inami Nidna. Or another possibility, you could say that we do learn Kilayim, we learn by Kal v'chomer. Ya inami nidma amrit loy. You could say when it comes to Bechor, you don't even need a Gzeira Shava. You certainly don't need Rava's Binyan Av, because you could say like this. If you say even a nidma does not have Dushas Bechor, dichtiv ach Bechor shur, because the Pasuk says in one of the places where it talks about the din of a Bechor, it says the Bechor of an ox. And we learn from that, actually, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk mentions all three. Ach b'chor shur, oi b'chor kesev, oi b'chor eiz. And we learn from that. Ad shehehu shur to b'chor shur. From that we learn that in order for an animal to have the kedusha of a b'chor, it has to be that it itself is a shur, that the parent is a shur, and that the b'chor, that the baby animal also looks like a shur. He also, Tosfos points out the distinction from the Gemara and Bechoris, between whether, in other words, obviously we're excluding Nidme from that, but again, you have the distinction that we talked about yesterday between a Nidme that doesn't look at all like the parents, or one that does look a little bit like the parents. There actually you do have, the Gemara explains, that if the animal does look somewhat like its parents, it has what's called mixa simonim. It looks partially like the same species, it just has some of the characteristics of the other one, then it does actually have the din of a Bechor. Anyway, though, we would have said if even a nidme of a certain kind, and in fact, Tosfos goes on to say that is why we need, if we already learned yesterday that a nidme is that a nidme can't be brought as a korban, why again do we need a limud over here to say why over here do we need from the word b'chor shur that a nidme does not have kedushas b'chor, is because again, if we only had it by kodshim, then we would have said it applies across the board by Kodshim. We said even if it's only a partial Nidmeh, then we would have said that it's possible for a Korban. We would have said the same thing as by a Bechor, and that's not so, because by a Bechor, a partial Nidmeh does have a Kedusha of a Bechor, and if you only add it by Bechor, then we would have said that by Kodshim as well, that would be. So therefore we need different Limudim for each one, Tosfos points out. Anyway, the point is that we would say, if you're saying that even a Nidmeh, where it's completely unlike the other one, it does not have a Kedusha of a Bechor, Kilayim Mibaya, how much more so Kilayim does not have the Kedusha of a Bechor, so you wouldn't need Rava's Binyan Av in order to tell us that. So the question is, when Rava is saying Zeh Bona Av, we have from the word Seh, wherever that word Seh is, whether it's the one by the list of kosher animals according to Rashi, or whether it's the one by the Korban Pesach according to Tosfos, and we're saying from that we learn that everywhere else in the Torah it says Seh, we're excluding a Kilayim, so what din do we need Rava's, do we need that drasha of Rava's to tell us? If it's as far as Tashlum Abav Hamisha, we are in fact saying that Kalayim is excluded. If we're talking about Korbanus, we said we have a different limud. If you're saying Bechor, you have a different limud. Maisu, you have a different limud. And by the way, the Gemara points out elsewhere that in Zvachim in particular, there's a long sugya about this, that when it comes to Kodshim, you have a concept, Ein Lamedin Lomid Min Alomid. You have, when it comes to the rest of the Torah, if you learn, for example, if you learn one thing from another with a Gzeira Shava, you can't then go and use the second thing as the basis for a Kavachomer or Binyan Av or whatever, a Hekish, to learn something else from it. By Kodshim, there's a special rule that you can only do one level of limud. There's a long and complex sugya in Zvachim, in Perek Ezer Makoyman, that discusses the ins and outs of that and when you can and when you can't. But anyway, that's how it is. Here, on the face of it, we're learning from Kodshim. So here we don't have an issue with that, actually. We're learning by Kodshim because it says Shur Oy Chesev. That's not any one of the Yud Gimel Midas Shatur in the Yashas Bam. That's just the word Oy itself. And then we're learning in turn. So then we're learning from that to a Gzeda Shava to Meiser. And then in turn, we're learning a Gzeda Shava from that to Bechor. But that's not a problem because we're not talking about the fact that the Meiser is being brought as a Korban or the Bechor is being brought as a Korban. We're talking about the intrinsic Kedusha that they have, where again, even if they're a Baal Mum, then they have a certain degree of Kedusha. Anyway, the point is, again, so Rava's Binyan Av, it's not relevant as far as Tashlum Abav Chamisha, because we're ignoring that because it says the word Oy. By Kodshim, we say, on the contrary, the word Oy excludes the Kilayim. By Bechor, by Meiser, we have a Gzeira Shava on the word Tachas. By Bechor, we have a Gzeira Shava on the word Havara. Or we have a Kavachomer from Nidmeh. So what do we need Rava's Binyan Av for? What is there a case where we would have thought that we include Kilayim and Rava's Binyan Av is telling us that it does not? So the answer is, Eloki Itmar de Rava in Petah Chamor. The answer is that from Rava's Gzeira Shava, we learn as far as the din of Petah Chamor. We know the Torah tells us, Ufetah Chamor Tifdev Seh. You have to redeem it with a, you have to redeem it from, where you have to give a Seh to the Kohen, and then the Chamor is mutter to use. So Rava's Binyan Av teaches us that you can't use a Kilayim as the Pidyon for the Petah Chamor. Kedetnan, as in fact we learn in a Mishnah in Bechoris. Ein Poydin Loy Be'egel. You cannot redeem the Petah Chamor with a calf, because it has to be a Seh, which is a sheep or a goat. V'loy b'chaya, or a wild animal, a kosher animal, that is. V'loy b'shchuta, or a shechted animal, because it's not considered a Seh once it's shechted already. V'loy b'trefa, or with an animal that's terefa, v'loy b'kilayim, or kilayim, that's what we're saying over here, v'loy b'koi, and also not with a koi, where there's a machlokas in the Gemara in a number of places, what a koi is, whether it is a bria b'fnei atma, it is a species of its own, which the Chachamim weren't sure whether it's considered a chaya or a behemah, because it has simonim of both of them, or is it also another example of a kilayim, where it's, the Gemara mentions, tayish habal atzivya, where a male goat mates with a female deer or a female gazelle, and then you have this koi is produced as a hybrid.
It wasn't that, the animal that picked up Douglas.
No, that was a rain. That was a rain. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. The Gemara mentions in other places that we know that there's a suffix always on a koi, whether it's a chai or a behema. You have a Mishnah and you have a Mishnah in Masech the Bikurim that talks about it. You have other places. But the question is always, is it the suffix is because it's a species of its own, which the Chachamim weren't sure whether it's a chai or a behema, in which case, for example, some people identify it with a buffalo. A buffalo is somewhat like an oversized ox. So in that case, maybe it should be considered a behema. But on the other hand, it's a wild animal, so maybe it should be considered a chai, which would be relevant, for example, as far as can you eat its chelev, do you have to do kisi adam with it? Anyway, so one way of looking at it is an independent species, and the other way of looking at it is that it's a hybrid between a domestic and wild animal. Whatever the case, the point is, the Mishnah is saying you can't use any of those for pidyon petach hamer. How do we know you can't use kilayim? Because of Rava's binyanah. By the way, the Gemara points out over there, and Rashi refers to it over here, it's not actually that you can't use, that you can't use them for pidyon. Rather, what it is the Torah tells us when it says "fetach hamer tiftev seh," what it means is even if the seh is worth far less than the petach hamer, that's fine. You can still use it. You can have a petach hamer which is worth $100 and a seh which is worth only $1, and that's fine. You can be poyder with anything else as well. However, if you're going to be poyder with anything else, it has to be equal in value to the petach hamer. So when we're saying over here, you can't be poyder with a calf or a chaya, et cetera, it means if you want to use the special dispensation of the Torah to use something that's worth less than the petach hamer, then you can't use those. But if you have a chaya or a trefa or whatever that's worth equal to the petach hamer or more, if you want to use it, you could use it.
The only way you can use that less
is it only if it's a set, right. And Rava's binyan app tells us that we're excluding kilayim from that. Okay. Now the question though is, what about Rav Elazar de Mata de kilayim? Now what about appointed Rav Elazar who says that you could use kilayim with that dispensation, meaning that if you have a hybrid sheep and goat, Rav Elazar would allow you to use it as a set, meaning again, even though it's only worth $1 compared to the $100 for the petach hamer, ditznan, as the Mishnah says there in Bechoras, Rav Elazar mata b'kilayim b'nei shehu seh, l'may hilchsa. Well, according to him, what do we need Rav's binyan av for? What are we getting from Rav's binyan av? Now, of course, Rav Elazar is a Tana. He can certainly argue with Rava. On the contrary, we'd have to ask, how isn't Rava contradicted by him? And Rava would have to answer, he's going according to the Chachamim.
And must learn that being now that he learns.
Well, that's the question. In other words, Rava is saying, in other words, that you have, so Pnei Yeshua explains that Rava is saying like this. If we have what are we saying? We're learning a binyan av from the word seh, means we have an extra word seh. And therefore we can use it for a binyan av. So the question is, what is Rav Elazar going to do with that extra word seh? So the answer is Amalach Rav Elazar ki itma de Rava l'tomei shenolid minat tohor v'ibure minat tomei. Rav Elazar will tell you, I do agree with Rava's derasha, with Rava's binyan av. However, I'm saying it doesn't tell us about petach hamer, because in fact I do disagree on that, and I say that you can use kilayim for redeeming a petach hamer. Rather, you have a case where you have a non-kosher animal that was born from a kosher one, but the father was a non-kosher animal. We're going to talk about in a second whether such things are possible, but wait. The point is, in other words, let's say, for example, suppose you have, Rashi gives an example that a male horse mated with a female cow, and then they had a baby which looks like a horse. Or another example, let's say a chazu mates with a ewe, with a female sheep, and gives birth to an animal that looks like a chazu. Such an animal would be also to eat. So the baby would be also to eat. So therefore, so Rav Elazar says that so Rav is saying then that that Rav Elazar would say that you're using Rav's binyan av to teach us that point that it is in fact also to eat. Or deloik Rav Yeshua, in which case it means that this limud is not like Rav Yeshua. Because Rav Yeshua is learning that from the fact that it says seich savim and seizim in the plural, which implies that you have to have both parents have to be savim, or both parents have to be izim. Well, fine, you can have a hybrid, one kevis and one aiz, but the point is you have to have both are kosher animals in order for the baby to be able to be eaten. So, actually, hey, all this kevis for imay kivsa, So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't need. So according to Rabbi Yeshua, you don't need the limud from Set. Now Tosfos had asked earlier, actually, when we said that Rashi learns is that Rashi says that Rava's binyan ab is from the word Set in this pasuk. Tosfos says, what do you mean? We're saying over here that Rabbi Yeshua is saying I don't learn it because he's learning from the word Seksavim, which is the exact same pasuk. So that's why Tosfos said that actually Rava's binyan ab is based on a different pasuk, the Set by the Korban Pesach. So now what we would have, in other words, Rabbi Yeshua is saying the fact that you can't, the fact that if the father animal was a non-kosher species and the mother was a kosher species, you can't eat the baby, that we learn from Seich Savim, the Seizim, as far as that you can't use Kilayim for Petach Hamer, in that he agrees with the other Chachamim against Rabbi Lazar and says you can't use Kilayim because of Rava's Binyan Ab. Meanwhile, Rabbi Lazar, who says you could use Kilayim, he would say no, that you're learning, he would say, I do agree you can't eat such an animal, but not because of Rabbi Yeshua's limud, but rather because of Rabbi's limud, because of Rabbi's binyan ab, from the word seh. And as far as an animal, where one parent is kosher and one is not, he would say you could eat it, like the other Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Yeshua. So even though it looks like a chazer, and even though its father was a chazer, Rabbi Yeshua is saying you're not allowed to eat it, but the chachamim would disagree.
Generally speaking, by animals we go according to the mother.
We generally ignore the father altogether. But wait, though, the Gemara is going to point out, one second. The question is, how is such a thing even possible? Tosfos actually discusses. So now it comes out, the Gemara is going to mention it. Well, let's learn, actually. We're going to talk about, at the top of the next onward, we're going to talk about an opinion of Reb Shimon. Then we'll talk about how many different opinions Tosfos discusses over here, and then a little bit of detail, how many different opinions do we have here exactly on the subject. So wait. The question is, the Gemara asks, since when can a kosher animal become pregnant from a non-kosher one in the first place? The Gemara in Bechoras tells us, in fact, you have a general rule. Kosher and non-kosher species, you can't hybridize them, you can't create a kilayim from them in the first place. Nowadays, maybe, I suppose, with genetic engineering, you could, but the actual, normal way of animals mating and producing offspring, and scientifically, what it is basically animals have to be fairly closely related. They have to have the same number of chromosomes. They have to have the same, the chromosomes have to be arranged in a similar way. They can have slightly different and they can still hybridize. For example, a horse and a donkey have a different number of chromosomes, but it's close enough that they can. But the examples that Rashi gave, let's say a horse and a cow or a pig and a sheep, are too far apart genetically, too much difference in the chromosomes for it to even be able to produce offspring at all. So what is the case that we're talking about over here where Rabbi Yeshua is going to hold you can't eat it, and the Chachamim hold you can? And Rashi points out, Gemara in Bechoras makes exactly that point. You have a general rule, a Tohar and a Tomei animal cannot hybridize. So, in fact, the poskim sometimes use that to determine, sometimes we have a suffix about a certain species of animal or bird, whether it's kosher or not. If we see that it can hybridize with one that we know is kosher, then that gives us a strong reason to say that it's also kosher based on this rule of the Gemara. Anyway, so the answer is Ain. Yes, you do have a case. We don't mean an actual non-kosher species, rather, but the time along, the Iyabavi Kolot could have shimmin. Rather, what we can talk about is where the father of the animal, where the father was a kolot. A kolot is an animal where, now normally, of course, kosher animals have split hooves. A kolot is an animal, is a freak, where it was born with unsplit hooves. So you have, for example, a sheep or a goat or what have you, that happened to be born with unsplit hooves. There was some kind of mutation. You have to keep in mind, by the way, the hooves of an animal are basically similar to the fingernails of a person. So a kosher animal essentially walks on its tiptoes. So the same way as by people, sometimes you have people born with missing fingers or fingers that are webbed together or whatever. The same way with animals, you can have an animal that's born colored, even though genetically it's a sheep. Reb Shimon considers such an animal to be tomei. it's a kosher species. But Reb Shimon says it's not good enough that it has, that it's a kosher species. It has to have the simonim of a kosher animal. And so it's a birth defect. Nevertheless, Reb Shimon said, sort of Rashi brings up in some detail over here from the Gemara in Bechoras, Reb Shimon says like this. Twice in the pasuk, it says that you can't eat a gomel, that you can't eat a camel. Now, why do we need, once it says you can't eat a camel, then of course you can't eat it. Why does the Torah have to repeat it? In other words, because the Torah repeats, in Parshas Shemini when it lists the non-kosher animals, and again in Parshas Re'eh when it lists them. So Reb Shimon explains, because one teaches us a regular camel that was born from camel parents, and the other one teaches us an animal that's like a camel, which was born from a cow. So you have, again, what's the deal with a camel? What is it that's missing in it that makes it non-kosher? It doesn't have fully split hooves. It does chew its cud. It does chew its cud, but its hooves are split, but not fully split. A kosher animal, the hooves are split front to back. With a camel, it's split in the front, but it's joined together in the back. In effect, in other words, if kosher animals walk on their tiptoes, a camel is walking kind of almost like on the palm of its hands in that sense. Reb Shimon is going to say, even if both parents were kosher, as long as this one looks like a gomel or any other non-kosher species, then it's straight. Now, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees and says like this. Rashi goes on to bring from the Gemara over there that Rabbi Yeshua says, if both parents were kosher, then it is kosher. However, Rabbi Yeshua is going to say that if it's a male, and it now goes and mates with a normal female, and they have a baby, then no, that baby is not going to be kosher. Because even though Rabbi Yeshua holds that the father animal itself is kosher and you can shecht it and eat it, but he would hold based on his limudim from the psukim over there that you would say that that nevertheless its offspring would be treif. So in other words, when we said you have this case of tahor v'ibure min atame, we don't mean like we said to begin with a horse impregnating a cow or a pig impregnating a sheep, right? Because that can't happen. What we mean is an animal that Reb Shimon would call treif, namely that it's a kolut, and now it impregnates a normal animal where Reb Shimon would say, not only Reb Shimon would say that even the parent animal is treif, Reb Yeshua is saying the parent animal is kosher. I disagree with Reb Shimon on that. However, the baby animal is treif because to that extent we are considering it tummy. So that's what Rabbi Yeshua means.
Kolut
means again that it has its hooves are split up, not split. They're closed up completely instead of a normal animal would be. So that's how Rashi learns. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim disagree and then talk about details and that. It comes out, in other words, that we're saying that it comes out from Rashi's explanation that Rabbi Yeshua is disagreeing with Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon again would say that even the parent animal, the kolot, is treif. And the baby is as well. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying, no, the parent animal is kosher, only the baby animal is treif. And Tosfos discusses that it's not necessarily like that. Rabbi Yeshua would agree that an animal that has no simone tara at all, if it looks completely like a gomel, then it would in fact be treif. Only if it has one simon, then we'd say maybe it's kosher. And so Tosfos talks about that. Not necessarily are we saying that Rabbi Yeshua. So you can have. In other words, the argument would be Rabbi Yeshua would argue would discuss on the point of because of the point of view of zev zeh goyim. You have one non-kosher animal and one kosher animal that join together to produce offspring. We have a concept in various places in Shas where we have a machloikas, is when you have zev zeh goyim, something which is a factor which is osur and a factor which is mutter combined together to produce something, is that thing that was produced osur or mutter? It's machloikas in various places in Shas. So fine, Rabbi Yeshua can hold the parent animal is in fact osur to eat, like Reb Shimon, but zev zeh goyim mutter, because you have the mother animal is a regular kosher animal with normal split hooves and chews its cud, therefore the baby is also, because we ignore the other contribution. This kind of thing comes up in many places in Shas. You have, for example, a Gemara in Avodah Zarah that talks about if you have, let's say, leaves fall off an Asherah tree, and earn and rot and turn to fertilizer on the ground, and then you have vegetables growing over there. Are those vegetables going to be osim hana or not? You have zev zegur, and you have the ground, which is mutter, and the leaves from the asherah tree, which are osir, combined again. For that matter, you have the seed that was also mutter, that combined together to produce this vegetable. So then, is it osir or is it mutter? Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. The point is that even it's still osir. You still can't use leaves from asherah tree as fertilizer. Yeah, anyway, whatever. The point is, this concept of Zev Zegodim comes up in many places in Shas. So Tosfos discusses that, that may be the basis of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, and therefore, so we don't have to say that Rabbi Yeshua is disagreeing with Rabbi Shimon on the actual parent animal itself. And then also again, different other Rishonim point out a different point as well, that based on the Gemara and Bechoris, it comes out the Machlokas is, it's true that Yeshua and Rav Shimon do argue, but on a different point, both animals were Tahor, and the baby animal resembles the mother only b'miktsas. Most of it looks like a behemoth meah, but it has a little bit of the simonim of a kosher animal. So would that be good enough? Rav Yeshua says yes, and Rav Shimon says no. It has to be Rosh of It has to be most of it resembles a kosher animal. In fact, then when we say over here the word kolot, they point out, wouldn't dafka mean that it has that its hooves are joined up? It means bechlal. It means that it mostly or completely resembles a non-kosher animal.
We're looking at
both, really. I mean, we have to have that according to that way of understanding it. It would mean that Reb Shimon would say. And it has to be Rosh Verubah. It's not just good enough that it has a true kosher simon. It has to mostly look like its mother, and the rest of it shouldn't look like a chazer or a horse or what have you. Okay, the point is, again, so we have, so no matter what, we are using Rava's Binyan Av. According to everybody else, we're using the Binyan Av again to teach us about Pidyan Petrachamer, that you can't use a Kilayim in place of a Seh. According to Rabbi Lazar, who says that you could, he's using the Binyan Av to say, not like Rabbi Yeshua, an animal that is a hybrid from a non-kosher animal, where now we understand we don't mean a really non-kosher animal, we mean a kolot and a normal animal, is mutter to eat. Rabbi Yeshua, who says that such an animal would be also to eat. He would use Rava's Binyan Av to say that you can't use a Kalayim for Pidyan Petrachamer. So no matter what, we've covered all our bases. Now the Gemara says, "Boi Rava, Harei Olai." Let's get back to the matter of Tashlumin Abba Chamisha and the whole question of we said that if it was brought as a korban, so we said if he shechted it as a korban, so we said he'd be potter from Tashlum. Well, we said if he shechted it, he's potter from Tashlumin Abba Chamisha when it's a korban, and we had the discussion a couple of blocks ago. Are we talking about that he shechted it actually as a korban, and just the owner wasn't yotze with it for some reason or other, or did he not shecht it as a korban to begin with? He shechted it outside the azara as a balmum. So now let's talk about boi rava, harei alai ola. What if a person says, I obligate to bring myself an ola? Now Rashi points out the following question is going to be a point of shim. Because Rav Shimon, we said in the Mishnah, draws a distinction between Kodshim Shechaye Bachar Yosan and Kodshim She'en Chaye Bachar Yosan. Again, if this animal becomes unavailable, will he have to bring another animal? Rav Shimon says, in that case, there is a Chiyuv of Tashlum Abba B'Chamisha, otherwise not. So now, Harei Olai Ola, what if a person says, I obligate to bring myself to bring an Ola, which is now Chaye Bachar Yosan, if now later on he designates an animal for that to fulfill his obligation, and then that animal is lost or stolen or becomes a Balmum or whatever, he's going to have to bring a different one.
Right, depending on how you said it?
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what we were saying the other day. If he says Harei Zu to begin with, then there's no Achrayus. If he says Harei Olai, then there's Achrayus, right? So he says Harei Olai, but he for sure, he designated a Shur to bring for his Ola. And somebody else came and stole the Shur. The question is, when the Ganav is going to pay back, me potter Ganav Nafshe Bekevis, can he potter himself by giving the owner back a sheep? Because he can say, look, you were chayev in a korban oila, so fine, I'm giving you a sheep, which you can also use for a korban oila. It's a lesser quality animal. Doesn't matter. The point is, you had a chiyuv of bringing an oila, and I'm giving it back to you in this form. So, and that would be the Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon, the minimum that he could bring would be a kevis. Or according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he could do even less. He could bring and he could give him a bird and tell him the bird can also be used as an oila. Which we see that machlokas ditznan. We have a mission in Menachos. If a person says hare alai oila, if a person says I obligate myself to bring an oila, and he didn't specify what kind of oila he's going to bring, yobi keves. So the Tanakhama says he has to bring a sheep. He could bring an ox if he wants, but he could bring a sheep, which is the least valuable of all of them, and he's yotze that way. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, oh, yobi tora ben yona. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says he can bring a bird as the korban.
That's very important.
Because when it comes, well, certain korbanos, required korbanos, yeah, you do, generally speaking, yeah, that's how it will be. Generally speaking, a rich person will bring an ox, a poor person will bring a sheep, an even poorer person a bird, and so forth. But a person is allowed to bring a bird, even if he's rich. When it comes to obligated korban, when it comes to obligatory korbanos, that's different. For example, a woman who gave birth, if she's rich, then she brings a sheep and a bird as her korbanos after giving birth. You have, for example, mitzvah. You have a couple of other examples. You have korban oil v'yodet, where yeah, a person brings a bird if he's poorer. He can't bring a bird if he's richer. Fine, but that's but when it comes to a voluntary oila, a person could bring a bird even if he's rich. And the Gemara actually explains there, it's not really a machloikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's actually more a matter of terminology. Where the Tanakhama lived, people thought of people, when people use the word oila without specifying, they meant an animal oila. So therefore, here he said, I rail my oila, therefore he has to bring some kind of animal. In Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's place, people use the word oila generically to cover all kinds of oilas, including bird ones. In other words, in the Tanakhama's place, if a person was to say, I'm going to bring an oila, if a person is telling his friend, I'm going to be bringing an oila tomorrow, the friend would understand that he means he's bringing an animal. Whereas in Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's place, if he said, I'm bringing an oila tomorrow, the person wouldn't know, he might be bringing a bird. Yeah, so it's not really a machloek. It's just a matter of what do people call oila generically in a certain place. Anyway, the point is, so now the question is again. So here you have the guy was makdish an animal as a korban, and so now can he get away with paying a lesser animal because after all an oila is an oila. So that's the question. Mia minan shame oila kabilolave. Do we say that the owner of the animal took on himself to give an oila? Well, therefore, an oila is an oila. Or maybe the guy can say to the ganev, anam mitzvah min amuchar b'ina lemevan. I wanted to do the mitzvah min amuchar. So I wanted to bring a shur. You can't, so you have to give me back a shur so that I can fulfill that obligation. Now, Tosfos points out, the Noidu himself, there's no question if he wants to be Yotze with a sheep or with a bird according to the Elazar ben Azariah, he could. The question is only, does he have the right to tell the Ganev, you're not Yotze at the mitzvah of the Heshavas Hagzela until you return me what I originally intended to bring as a korban, namely the best possible kind. So, Bosodi Boya Hodaposhta, after Rava asked the question, he later on was able to answer it. Yes, Gana Potter Atman Bekevis for Rabbanon, but Ula Sa'ofa Rabbah Elazar ben Azariah. Yes, the answer would be that he could patter himself with the sheep or with the bird, depending on the Tanakhama or Rabbah Elazar ben Azariah.
Was he shechted the first one?
No, he didn't shecht anything at all. We're talking about, obviously if the animal is available, he returns the animal and that's that. We're talking about that the original animal is not available anymore, so yeah. So he could do that. So Rava answered the question that yes, once the original animal is not available anymore, then he could in fact be Yotze that way. There is a good deal of discussion among Achronim actually about, now Rashi uses the expression, Rashi says the whole question is according to Shimon, because Shimon had drawn the distinction between Kodshim Shechai Bachriyosan. So does that mean that according to the Chachamim, we would say he doesn't even, the reason why according to the Chachamim, you pot it from Kefil is because we're talking about Hektish over here. And as we've learned before, you don't pay Kefil to Hektish. Does that mean, in other words, that even according to the Chachamim, the question would be about the Keren? Does the Ganev have to pay back the Keren of the actual animal that he stole, and then the question is only as far as the kefil. So according to the Chachamim, he's going to be completely potter from kefil because it's kodshim, and according to the Shimon, maybe he could get away with a lesser animal. Or do we say that the question is even on the Keren, because maybe, after all, the animal doesn't really belong to the person at all, it's Kodshin. So maybe he doesn't even have to pay the Keren at all. So there's a good deal of discussion among Achronim, and in fact, even among Rishonim, really, as far as that point. When we're saying the question is according to Reb Shimon, what do we mean? According to the Chachamim, what would be the din? On top of that, there's a very fascinating discussion among Achronim. The Maharatz Chayus refers to it in his notes on the Gemara over here. You have an interesting question that was brought up. Suppose, for example, a person has a Mahudur Dika Esrim. Somebody else steals it. Now can we say he can be Yotze by paying back a lesser Esrim, or does he have to pay back a Mahudur Dika one? So here you have a similar point. Maharam Mintz points out that the same way over here, as we're saying that he can get away with paying the sheep, then the same way he can get away with paying the lesser esrog. Now he does add, the difference is, with Kodshim you can't sell them. Here you could have, conceivably, after Sukkot you could sell your esrog. If for whatever reason your Mahudur Dika Esrog would fetch a higher value after Sukkot, now normally it wouldn't, why would anybody care after Sukkot whether it's Mahudur or not, but let's say there is such a case, then yeah, the guy's gonna have to pay back that full value, but otherwise not. On the other hand, the Chacham Tzvi disagrees and say because that's just it. The korban has no monetary value at all to the owner. It belongs to Hekdesh. As opposed to over here, the Esrog, in principle, a person can sell his Esrog if he wants to. So therefore, that's different. Then that's different than the case of a korban. And then the Chassam Sofer brings a different point as well, that here, by buying an esrog that's mahudur, it's as if he made a neder. The Chassam Sofer uses the expression neder godol nodar lelkei Yisrael. It's like he made a neder to use the nicest possible esrog. And therefore, here we're saying in the Gemara over here that once the animal was stolen, then he's able to fulfill he's able to be yotzer with any animal that he can bring as an ola. But as long as the item still exists, he has to use that item. And therefore, applying that to the case of the ganav, he would in fact have to give back the mahudur dika esrog and not yet. But then you have further discussion again over here whether this whole thing is only appointed of Shimon. Again, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon. After all, the halacha is like the Chachamim, and therefore we have to consider that as well. So it's an interesting shayla that's dealt with by various Achronim in different ways. Yeah, let's say Yanav and Klachabad or whatever. Okay. So the Gemara finishes off. Rav Acha Breder of Ikka Masni La Behedya. Here we have the first version of the Gemara was that Rav asked the question and then eventually he was able to answer it. Rav Acha Breder of Ikka doesn't even have it as a question and answer. Masni La Behedya, he says it as a statement to begin with. Omar Rava, that if the person says, I re alai ola, but if he's sure, he said, I obligate myself to bring an ola, and he designated a sure, or Vor Acha Begonve, and somebody else came and stole it, Potter Atma, the Kevas, for Abaran, or Ola Sofer, or Ola Zabarazalia, then yes, the Ganav can patter himself with just a sheep according to the Chachamim, or with just a bird according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rav Acha just had that instead of Rava asking as a question and then answering it, that Rava was just saying it as a statement in the first place. Okay. Mishnah says, let's talk about the cases where a person, we've been learning throughout the parak that when a person shechts or sells the animal that he stole, is chayiv tashlum al-bal chamish. So let's talk about, the Mishnah says, mochrei chutz me'echa mimeya shavai. What if he sold the entire animal except for 1/100th of it? And what's included in that 1/100th, we'll see in the Gemara. We'll get to that in a minute. Or that even before he stole it, he owned it partially. So you can't, in either case, you don't have mochoroi. The pasuk says, t'vachoi oi mochoroi. Mochoroi implies that he sells the whole thing. In the first case, he didn't, because he left out something of it. And in the second case, he owns some of it in the first place. You can't say that he sold all of it v'isr. Or hashoichet in a snabla biyadai, or if he shechted the animal and it became nevela while he was trying to shecht it normally, but he ended up making it nevela. Hanoicher v'hamaaker, or he's noicher umaaker. Rashi describes over here that noicher means he cuts it or he tears it lengthwise from the nose down to the heart. So instead of shechita, it's across the neck. Here he basically does a long, a big long cut down the length of the animal of the animal's jaw and chest and kills it that way. That's not shchita. By ma'akir, or he pulls out the simonim. Elsewhere, Rashi explains differently. Elsewhere, Rashi explains that noicha means he strangles the animal. Whatever the case, it's not a kosher of shchita, obviously. So mishalim tashlumei kefil, ve'ein mishalim tashlumei abba v'chamisha. In all those cases, he doesn't pay tashlumei abba v'chamisha. Now, even though now we had before the opinion of Reb Shimon about shchita shein ru'uya. Here, it's not even a shchita. So even the chachamim are going to agree that he's not chayav tashlumei abba v'chamisha. When it was a proper shchita and it was trefa, then cholim ba'azara or whatever, then the chacham are going to disagree. But not when there wasn't a proper shchita at all, or in this case where it became nevela, or to begin with he was trying to do a proper shchita and it became nevela, or where he didn't even try to do a proper shchita at all. So the Gemara says, "My chutz me'echad mimei shaboy." What do we mean that he sold the animal minus 100? It means only when would he be potter, only if he excluded from the sale something that would become mutter once the animal is shechted. So say, for example, he said, I'm selling you this entire animal, but I'm retaining ownership of one leg of the animal, let's say. So when the animal is shechted, then when you shecht the animal, I'm gonna take that leg and for myself, and you can have the rest of the meat. But in other words, Rav would be saying, if let's say he said, I'm selling you the animal, but I'm keeping the wool or the horns or whatever, then that wouldn't be considered, then you wouldn't have the din of the Mishnah, says Rav, because those things were mutter even before the animal was shechted.
But you can't get the skin off.
No, not the skin, I'm saying the wool.
Oh.
The skin would be included, the skin would be davar nitrim and mishchita, but the wool would not, let's say the wool, the horns, whatever. The Levi of a chutz megizei seha. Levi says that no, it means even for example, he left out the wool. Even though the wool was mutter before it was shechted, that would still be considered a shear, and therefore you would have the din of our Mishnah that he's potter from tashlum al bal chamisha. The chayn tanya b'masnisa. We learn a brisa like that as well. Chutz megizei seha, that it means even if he only excluded the wool, then he would also be potter from tashlum al bal chamisha. So the Gemara says, Mesi, you have a contradiction from a different Rav, from a different Braisa. Now, the first Braisa is not necessarily a kasha on Rav, because in particular, V'chein Tanya B'Braisa may mean that Levi himself taught a Braisa that way. In other words, sometimes you have the early Amuroim, they also composed collections of Braisas. We find in many places in Shas where Levi himself had such a collection of Braisas. So fine, what we're saying is Levi said it as a statement of an Amora to explain in a Mishnah, and he also composed a Braisa that people will learn together with the Mishnah that mentions this point. So that's not a contradiction on Rav, obviously, because fine, that's his opinion. But we have another Braisa that goes back before Rav or Levi, where the Braisa says, Machra chutz miyada, if he sold the animal and excluded its front leg, chutz miraglo, or excluded its back leg, chutz mikauna, or excluded its horn, chutz migizaseha, or he sold it except for its wool, ein v'sham tashlum abav chamisha, so in those cases he doesn't pay tashlum abav chamisha, Rebbe Omer, gavra ma'akav v'shchita, ein v'sham tashlum abav chamisha, only when it's something that would prevent the shchita from being kosher. So Rashi points out, in other words, you have like this, there are certain organs of the animal where if they're removed while the animal is still alive, the animal is already considered nevela, even though other than that it's physically alive. For example, Rashi gives examples. Let's say you have if the esophagus or the windpipe were removed, the animal may still be alive for a few more minutes. Nevertheless, it's already considered nevela. Another example of that Rashi brings would be you have the thigh of the animal. You have on an animal, on a person, you have the hip bone. You have the pelvis, the hip bones, and then you have the top end of the leg, the ball socket of the top part of the leg fits into that. You have a case called Mito Yerech B'chol Shalah. You have where not only that entire bone was removed, but you have even the ball at the top was removed, and now you have like a big open concave space where it used to go into, and you can see that space. Such an animal is called Nevela Mechai. So now Rebbe says, that, and now on the other hand, you have other things. For example, let's say you have things that you have things that that if they're removed from the animal, it becomes trefa, but not nevela. Now, a difference between nevela and trefa is, there's a difference between them. First of all, they're under different isurim. If a person is over and eats nevela, or if a person is over and eats trefa, there are two different lavim in the Torah, and you need hasara separately for each one. But also, a nevela is metame, a person who touches or carries it. A trefa is not. So therefore, so it becomes... Say what? I'm not sure what you mean. You do have, if the animal's lower jaw was removed, it's actually still kosher as long as the simonim have not been touched. If the animal's upper jaw was removed, the Rambam brings in Hilchos Shchita that the animal is trefa, because he explains in a letter to the Chachmei Luno, because the upper jaw, he explains, it becomes a trefa, not an avela, but it becomes a trefa because then cold air, like this he says, the upper jaw helps filter the air to warm it up before it reaches the lungs. Otherwise, like this, the animal is just going to be breathing in cold air. It's going to die from that soon enough. So therefore, it's considered a trefa. But anyway, the point is that neither of those makes it an avela. But some of the examples that we gave over here would actually make it an avela even while it's still alive. So now, Rebbe is saying, that kol davar ma'akel v'shchita, anything that prevents the shchita from being considered a valid shchita, meaning, in other words, any case where the animal is already nevela mechayim, then that would be the case. Then those are the kinds of things where if he excludes those, then he doesn't pay. Then he doesn't pay tashlum abav chamisha. So Rebbe Yemer, davar ma'akel v'shchita, ein masham tashlum abav chamisha. So Rebbe would say, in other words, that let's say, so you sold the animal, so the ganav sold the animal to somebody else, but he said, I'm retaining ownership of the wind. After you shech the animal, I want the windpipe back. That would be considered, since if the windpipe had been removed while the animal was alive, it would become a nevela mechayim, and shchita wouldn't take off the status of nevela. Therefore, Rebbe says that's not considered a mechila. On the other hand, if he had sold the animal and said, for example, I want you to give me the bottom of the leg, which at most that will make the animal a trefa, then that would be considered a valid mechila, and therefore he'd be chayef tashlum abav chamisha. The Rashash actually points out that Rashi seems to be sort of contradicting himself. First, he mentions things that are nevela mechayim. Then he mentions, for example, the leg, but minhau kuba ulamata, below a certain joint where it doesn't even make it trefa, implying that if it was above a place where it made it trefa, then Rebbe would consider it not a valid sale. So is Rebbe saying something that would make it nevela, or even something that would make it trefa? It's uncertain from Rashi's lashon. anyway. So that's Rebbe, and then the Braisa, and then Rebbe continues. V'she'ena ma'akiv, if it doesn't prevent the shchita from taking effect, if v'she'ena ma'akiv v'shchita, mishalom tashlum abav chamisha. And then you have another opinion, Rav Shimon Elazoima, chutz mikauna in mishalom tashlum abav chamisha. If he sells it exclusive of the wounds, he doesn't pay tashlum abav chamisha. Chutz migizeseha mishalom tashlum abav chamisha. But if he sold it without the wool, then he would pay tashlum abav chamisha. So Rav Shimon Elazoima is drawing a distinction between the wounds, because the difference is the wounds are not normally cut off the animal while it's alive, whereas the wool is. Now, the Gemara is going to ask soon that we had before the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar, who said that, we're going to have later on another opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar. The Gemara is going to point out that you seem to have a contradiction within what he says. We'll get to that. But anyway, the point is, now, let's consider Bishlema Levi Katana Kama. Now, so what do we have? We have three opinions in the Braisa. The Tanakama is saying that if you excluded anything, even the horns or the wool, he's not paying tashlum abav chamisha. Rebbe had drawn a distinction between whether it's something essential for the animal's life or not. And Rav Shimon Elazar had drawn a distinction. He said horns are considered part of the animal, wool is not. So now, Bishlema Levi Katanakama. Levi's opinion follows the Tanakama, because the Tanakama is saying if you leave out anything, including the wool, then it's not considered a mechira. And Levi is agreeing with that and saying you left out the wool and it's not considered a mechira. Ela l'Rav Kaman. But according to Rav, which opinion in the Braisa is he following? And the answer is Amri, Rav d'Amaki Haytana. Rav has yet another Tana that he can follow. The Tanya, because we're learning another Braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, Machra Chutz Miyada V'Chutz Miragla, if he sold the animal minus the hand or minus the foot, so in other words, he said, I'm keeping ownership of the hand or the foot, Eina Masham Tashlam Abav Chamisha, But if he says, chutz mikauna, if he says, I'm selling it to you, except for the horns, or chutz migizeseha, except for the wool, mishalim, tashlam al baba chamisha, then he does pay tashlam al baba chamisha. So Rav is following now. The Gemara is going to ask soon that you have a contradiction. Before we said, Rav Shimon also says, horns no, wool yes. And here he's saying both wool and horns is not considered a shear. So this, we're going to point out, we have a contradiction in Rav Shimon Elazar's opinion. We'll get to that soon. But the point is, Rav is following that second version of Rav Shimon Elazar. And therefore, so he's saying, the horns were already mutter. You could, in principle, cut off the horns while the animal was alive. And it would be, and it doesn't make the animal today for anything. And then similarly with the wool, obviously shearing a sheep doesn't make it today. So those are, and those things are not nitter ima b'shchita, also in the sense that even if the animal becomes nevela, you could still use the wool, you could still use the horns, because they're not something that you eat anyway. So therefore Rav is saying that those are not included in what the Mishnah is saying, leaving something out. Okay, the my committee, what is the underlying machlokas? Why does each of these opinions hold what they do? So like this, Tanakama Saba Utvachai Kulai Benin. The Tanakama says when it says Utvachai Shechte, means it has to be the entire animal was shechted. Umachore Kulai Benin. Similarly, Umachore means the entire animal. So he's only Chayev. So therefore, if he left out anything, doesn't matter whether Nitter Beshchita or not. Nevertheless, the fact is he didn't sell the entire animal. So therefore he'd be Potter. The Rebbe Saba Utvachai, he says Midi Dehavi Betvicha. Rebbe says, When it comes to tvicha, we have, since the pasuk is saying tvachoi oy mechoroi, that means there's a comparison between tvicha and mechira. Therefore, it has to be that it's something that's somehow related to tvicha. So midi to have the tvicha, only things that are relevant when it comes to the tvicha, to the shechita. Meaning, in other words, la pukin midi to have a tvicha, as opposed to something that has nothing to do with the shechting. For example, the horns or the wool. So Rebbe is saying, it's true, umachore means the entire thing, but since the pasuk is mentioning it together with the utvachoi, then it means only things that are relevant to utvachoi, only those have to be included in the machore in order for it to be considered a full thing. So that explains Rebbe's opinion. And similarly, umachore, jumia the tvicha. So he says the selling has to be similar to the tvicha and it has to have the same parameters. But Reb Shimon Elazar suffer. Reb Shimon Elazar takes the view like this. Pounded below the migza kaima, a horn which is not normally cut off while the animal is alive, because obviously it's not going to grow back, have a shear, then that can be considered a shear, that if he didn't sell it, it's considered that he didn't sell the entire animal. So therefore, he's not going to pay tashlum abav chamisha because he left out something essential of the animal. It's true, it's not nitter v'shlita, but the fact is, it's something pretty essential because nobody cuts off the horns expecting them, they're not going to grow back. But when it comes to the wool of the animal, which is normally sheared off, loy have a shear, so Rav Shimon Elazar says you can't call that if he left that out, that he's left out something essential of the animal. Now the idach tan of the debate of Shimon Elazar. Now we said you have the second version of Rav Shimon Elazar, which is what Rav was following. That would say subtly figures. The difference is yod v'ragim tzrichi tvicha. The difference is the forelegs and the hind legs of the animal. You require shchita. Without shchita, you can't eat them. So therefore, have a shear. So if he doesn't sell them, then you have a shear. But when it comes to the horns and the hooves, true that you don't normally cut off the horns, but the fact is you don't need to check the animal for the horns to be mutter to use. So those are not considered a shear.
Therefore,
he'd have to pay the shlomah above chamisha, right? So the Gemara asks, Kashya, did Rav Shimon Elazar have the Rav Shimon Elazar? You seem to have a contradiction. Was Rav Shimon Elazar whole as far as if he sold it minus the horns? And the answer is, Tshrei Tanoi, if I live with Rav Shimon Elazar. We have two Tanoim disagreeing within what Rav Shimon Elazar holds, whether he says that it has to be something that nitu ima b'shchita, or whether it's something which is not normally cut off while the animal is alive. Okay. Now, we said, Fine. Now we said in the Mishnah you have the case of So let's talk more about this matter of Tvachai. Let's talk more about this matter where he has to shech the animal completely in order for him to be chayav. So Tana Rabbanan, Hagonav Hakitas. So if a person stole an animal that was amputated, so you have its foreleg or hind leg had already been amputated. Again, we're talking about, to keep things simple, let's say we're talking about that it's a place where it doesn't make a tereva, for example, the lower joint. So you have an animal's leg consists of three segments. So a human being's leg has two segments, but an animal's has three, because again, kosher animals walk in effect on their tiptoes. The third segment of their leg corresponds to the palm of a person's hand or the sole of a person's foot. So that last part, the same way as a person can have their hand amputated, Rahman al-Islam, and they can still live, the same way an animal can have the lower part of its leg amputated, and it's still fine. So suppose a person stole an animal that was like that. Vesachigeris, so an animal that was lame. Vesasuma, or that was blind. Or if he stole an animal that belongs to partners, chayev in all those cases, chayev tashlama bav chamisha, because the fact is that he shechted or sold the entire animal that he got. You're not going to say, in other words, that it has to be, the animal has to have all its limbs in order for him to be chayev. No, we're saying the fact is that he shechted the animal as he received it, as he sold it, and therefore he's chayev. So on the other hand, continues the Braisa, the shutfim should gonvu pturim. On the other hand, if two partners steal an animal, then they'd be potter. So we have to figure out Valtanya. First of all, Valtanya shutfim should gonvu chayovin. Another Braisa says that if partners stole and tvocho and tovcho and machor or machru, then they are chayev. The first braisa is talking about where one partner stole the animal from the other. So Reuven and Shimon own the animal jointly. Reuven took the entire animal, and ignoring Shimon's part of it, he goes and sells it or shechts it. So like we said in the Mishnah, he's potter because he owns half the animal. The same way he's potter because he owns half the animal. Rashi points out, now earlier in the perek we talked about, for example, we had the case where a person steals from two partners, and we said somebody was murdered to one of them, he was kofer in the other, and we said he winds up paying chamisha chatzoi boker b'chamisha chatzoi tzoi. He said that if it was an ox, he ends up paying five times half the value of the ox to the one that he denied. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Rashi says the difference over there, he stole the entire animal. It's just that when it comes to the tvicha or mechira, afterwards, when it comes to him being chayev, he was murdered to one of them, and therefore he patted himself from half of the payment. Here, to begin with, it wasn't even half of it wasn't even stolen, because half of it belonged to him in the first place. So you can't call it bechalal that you should say you should be chayev to pay for the other half. As opposed to when one of the partners stole from somebody else, somebody who they don't have any ownership of it. So each one of them is going to be chayev. So each one of them is going to be chayev for their share. However, the Gemara says, Esve Ravelar of Nachman, Yochol Shutav Shagonim Mechaverai. You would think, says a Braisa, that if one partner stole the animal from the other, over Shutvin Shagonru, or partners that stole an animal, and they shechted or sold it, Yehu Chayovin, Tamad Lema, Utvachai Kolivin. And the Pasuk says, he shechted it, that means all of it. Veleka, and here you don't have, because a Shutav Shagonim Mechaverai, he already owns half of it, and two people stole together, each one shechted only, if two of them shechted it together, each one in effect only shechted half the animal, or each one only sold half the animal. Ela Amar Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman says, you're right, you can't make the distinction that way. Loi kasha, kan b'shutav shetovach l'das chaveiroi, kan b'shutav shetovach shaloi v'das chaveiroi, it depends. Both braises are talking about where it's partners, but one case is talking about when we say that two partners who stole together a chayev, we're talking about one of them shechted with the other one's permission. So in effect, he becomes a shliach, and we learned earlier in the perek that when it comes to tvicha or mechira, then a shliach, then we do say yes shliach l'dvar avera. Normally we say in shliach l'dvar avera, but here we say as far as the ganav himself is chayav, the same way we learned as mechoroi, when you sell to somebody implies that you're selling to somebody else, the same way with tvicha, it can imply that you have somebody else involved. So what we're saying is, Reuven and Shimon together stole an animal that belonged to Levi. And now they both, and now, what do we mean? That we say that we're potter, we're talking about, or what do we say when we say Mechayev? Is we're the Ganovim, Reuven and Shimon. So Shimon says to Reuven, go ahead, shech this animal. So now half of it he's doing on his own, and half of it he's doing with the as the shliach of the other one. Therefore he's chayim, or therefore both of them are chayim, each one for their part. Can the shut of shetovach shalom ladas chaveroi? Here the other case where we're saying the potter is talking about that Reuven and Shimon stole it, but he didn't get permission from the other one, so therefore he didn't shech everything that he stole. Therefore he'd be potter from tashlum abav hamisha. And so the Gemara continues with a couple of questions in this regard. Fine. Okay. All right. So fine. Everyone. Yeah, we'll continue.